Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Oh, another tough loss. The Lions go down in L.A. to Matt Stafford and the Rams. It's a tough one, especially for the Stafford lovers to see him kind of work his stuff on the other sideline. But, man, the Lions came out and fought. But we'll get into all that. Dan Campbell and his very aggressive game plan. Aaron Glenn, Anthony Lynn, Jared Goff, the whole nine yards, you know. But anyways, I also wanted to mention as well that we have joined SidelineReport.com. We are the official podcast of that now. So look for us on that website, a really popular website. If you're not familiar with it, go check it out. They have some cool articles now. They break down the game and stuff like that. But it's really cool. But again, it doesn't change anything we do on this podcast. Just another way to enhance the experience you have listening to it. So thank you, everybody, for listening. It's the listeners that have allowed us to, you know, get this far with your support and your, you know, interactions and stuff like that. It's just awesome. So anyways, the Lions, we are still searching for that elusive victory. We'll get it soon. We know we will. We know we will. A big opportunity next week in Philadelphia. But right now, on this episode, we're going to be breaking down everything from that Week 7 game in L.A. So sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything. We got it here. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back after the Lions 28-19 loss in LA. The Goff revenge game falls just short as he throws a pick in the end zone on their last offensive possession, and then the Rams run out the clock. But we'll get into all that in a moment. But before we do, I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. We got Rud Dog.
Yo.
Bob.
Hello, hello.
And Connor.
Hiya.
All right, gentlemen, so the Lions, they fought. I don't think anybody's questioning their effort in this game, but it just still wasn't enough. Even after a long screen pass to start the game, a great swift touchdown, then getting the onside kick, and then on that same drive running a fake punt pass, and then getting 3 points out of that drive to start up 10-0, and then the Rams finally got the ball. and then it became a game for a little bit there. And then the Lions were another successful punt later on. But ultimately, the Lions just could not quite hang all the way to the end here. 28-19 loss. I mean, what's your guys' first reaction to this game? Definitely a way better effort than we saw against the Bengals, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this team looked dialed in from the beginning. I thought that was really cool. And I also think this was Goff's best game of the season so far, which restores a little bit of the hope I think we've lost. And Campbell's play calling is just insane. I love it. I worship it.
Campbell's play calling?
Calls to do the fake punts and all that.
And the onside kick right away.
Yeah.
Good onside kick. Good. That's the second one Bob reminded me before. That's the second one we recovered this year. So great job by Seibert on the kickoffs with the onside kicks.
It was definitely an exciting game. I mean, that was kind of fun, you know.
I love the effort. I think it just kind of comes down to sort of a horsepower type thing where we're just clearly lacking some horsepower in some key areas, primarily wide receiver more than anything, I would say, because that's, even though we have, I think, what's his name?
Raymond
made some nice plays.
Yeah, 6 for 115. Receiver.
But then that was the first half. Then the second half, they start to kind of disappear. And I don't know. I just feel like if we had a few more impact receivers, that could go a long way.
Well, and another thing that really has plagued this team, though, is still the self-inflicted wounds. Like, for instance, at the end of the first half, apparently there was some headset issues or something. They take a delay game right after spiking the ball That kind of took him out of any chance of scoring a touchdown there at the end of the first half. There's other ones mixed in there, like some holding calls and false starts that we still see. And obviously the turnovers, two interceptions for Goff in this game, especially the big one at the end. But it's just like, and that's kind of the problem with this offense too. Like you see an offense like the Rams that averages like 13 yards, air yards per pass. And then you have like an offense like ours, it's like 5 yards where it's just, it's like, to have a touchdown, we need like 13, 15 play drives, unless there's like, you know, some crazy great play by Swift there. But yeah, it has to be right. Perfect football for so many plays in a row. This is the same thing we saw against the Bears, too, where it's like it's got to be perfect all the way down to the end. And something can go wrong.
And that's why I think wide receivers are like why I think we're hurting so bad on offense. We just don't have. Or it's the scheme. I don't know what, but we're not able to open it up and make those chunk plays for some reason, even though they did it in the first half. But when we need it, they seem to struggle for it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely still a talent deficit on this team.
Right.
Like you're saying, when they're playing perfect, they can play pretty well. But they don't have room for error like the Rams do. The Rams played a little imperfect, and then Aaron Donald would come up and make a play, or Rams
would make a play,
or somebody.
Because we actually did a really good job of kind of keeping Aaron Donald in check in the pass game for most of the game, except for the biggest play at the near the end of the game, of course.
Yeah, I know. It's frustrating. Yeah it's just, but I was impressed with the effort. I know, I think, Z, you were talking about in our chat that it was a moral victory. I don't quite buy into that whole thing. I thought, you know, they're in a rebuild, which Sheila Ford admitted in her article, the David Burkett article this week. She did use the rebuild word, which is good.
Oh, no.
We're not retooling anymore?
No.
What? You're saying an 0-7 team isn't retooling?
No. So it's a rebuild.
Well, to be fair, more damage has happened.
I'm seeing progress. I'm seeing progress every week.
Yeah, moral victories.
No, it's not moral victories. Yeah. It's the rebuild. It's happening. You're seeing all these young players get playing time, and they're getting better every week.
Right, if they can stay healthy, I don't think I mentioned this yet, but and if listeners aren't aware, but AJ Parker looks like he might be headed to be out for the year, and then UJ's not on the podcast here, but we'll bring it up to him later. But Logan Stenberg looks like he's going to be going on IR. He only played four special team snaps, I believe field goal block is what he's on, and he's got hurt on one of those, I guess. So. And he's only, I think he's only played four offensive snaps in his career too. So not getting his time to shine quite yet.
Those injuries though, I think are to your point, Bob. I think I was all down sort of into the buying into the retool moniker until like this team got brought down another five pegs injury wise during the season. Like if we had Decker, if we had Ragnow healthy, you know, Kuda, and like all our guys on point coming up in this team, you know, where we thought it was going to be, I think you could still see a potential to have a retool. But at this point, it's been so beat. We've been so beat up. It's we just gotta keep fighting and growing.
What is going on with Decker and his finger? I've never seen a finger injury take this long to recover from.
Seems like he's like spooked, like psychologically by it.
It's weird. They said he is cleared to practice and everything, but he's like afraid to grip with it or something. I don't know. Like when you're pushing off on guys,
it's just weird. Like maybe like tape it, put a club over. You can't put a club on it for an offensive lineman, unfortunately. Like a defensive lineman,
chop it off.
Yeah, just take it off at this point.
You don't even need it.
Just reattach it after the season.
We'll give you a hazard bonus of $4 million.
So. That's like
the Ford health system could take care of that.
I don't know if you guys know this story. It's before your time, but you might have heard about it. Ronnie Lott, when he played for the 49ers, he had a game coming up and they had either removed the tip of his finger or he'd have surgery and miss a bunch. And he had him just cut the tip of the finger off.
That's great.
Damn, I don't know if I'd do that, but credit to him.
The love of the game, baby.
Yeah.
Did they win? Was it worth it?
Yeah, it was the 49ers back in their heyday when they were in the Super Bowls.
All right. Yeah. Well, Joe Montana, so it worked out for him. It worked out for
him.
I love to see these guys who are willing to do that kind of stuff just because they love competing, love the sport. Like, that's just so badass, and it's just so much what makes football great.
Oh, yeah. So Let's break down both sides of the ball a little bit here. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball. The Lions don't get to the 20-point mark again. They've only eclipsed it once so far this year. I really thought they'd do it this game when they got up, you know, all those points to start the game early. They just never got to it. I was so bad. Even at a loss.
Rams
get above
adjusted.
20.
I know. So close.
But
we're
Swift,
struggling down the stretch.
Let's talk about Swift first and how good he looks in this game.
He's a bona fide superstar now. I don't care what anyone says. He's a stud.
Yeah. Our running backs, I love they run with anger, man. They just run through people. Did you see Swift take out that defensive back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hit
another
him in the shoulder.
Yeah. Awesome. Lowering the boom again.
yeah.
Big fan.
Yeah. It's been really fun to watch him grow this year. I know they said he had like a groin injury or something. Maybe that's the key. Maybe his groin needs to keep hurting him. Play like this.
he was bobbing and weaving.
But damn it. Apparently he ran the wrong route on that one that would have been a clear touchdown when he ran out to the flat. He was a little indecisive and slow to get to the spot.
Is that right? He ran the wrong route?
Because in real time it looked like it was on Goff, but I guess it was more on Swift.
Mark Sanchez broke it down pretty good live. Like, you could see where Swift looked like he was going to sit down sort of to go inside, and then he jukes and then goes out, and the ball comes right to where he would have been if he didn't move.
As far as the broadcast goes, too, I never thought much of Sanchez as a quarterback, but he's a pretty good analyst, I think.
I did not like him.
I was going to say opposite.
Stafford's finally really appreciated now, something like that.
I thought he was good at breaking down plays like that.
You get good insight, I thought.
Maybe I need to go back and rewatch it.
not a Mark Sanchez guy.
He was saying a lot of, like, he was one of those announcers just like states the obvious constantly, and it was bothering me.
I hope he becomes the new like Monday night guy in your life.
I think he gives a good I think he gives a good perspective of like how a quarterback sees the field and how the play develops and stuff. I don't know. I thought
they're using that cone vision a lot in the broadcast.
He's no Tony Romo, so let's pump our brakes on broadcast.
Romo has his flaws as well.
And the Manning brothers are also way better than Sanchez.
I'm team Chris Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football. I actually think he does a really good job, and he gets
a
lot of
slide.
Chris Collinsworth,
the slide,
you
can't.
But anyways, let's get to back to the offense here. One thing that was upsetting: the Lions get to that fourth and short, and they do a quick hurry up for some reason, and I don't know why they hurried it. It didn't make sense in real time why they were doing it. Maybe trying to catch them off guard, but most of the time when you see these teams hurry up and run a quick run play, it does not work out well for them, and it did not work out for them here. Brock Wright, who I wasn't aware was put on the active roster, actually got like 14 snaps in this game.
Who?
Brock Wright, backup.
Oh, Brock Wright,
yeah, backup tight end. He misses a block on that play. Apparently, he was misaligned, and that kind of caused him to not be inside enough to kick out the block that was needed. Break Swift open, but also I like getting Jamal Williams in there on those fourth and shorts instead of Swift making
downs.
That. I think Williams gets that first down there regardless of the block, but also just taking your time sets up that alignment a little more, especially
didn't
for
they
an
say
undrafted
he had,
rookie.
Didn't they say he hasn't failed one? Like he hadn't failed like a short or fourth and one or something like that?
I do not have that stat up to
they
confirm.
They said something like that during the game, but he's obviously the better option there. As good as Swift is, he just has that ability to shrug off more blows.
I agree with you about the hurry up thing. They did that earlier this year too. They got It seems to hurt the offense more than the defense. Like, I mean, they're trying to catch them off guard. I think that's why they said they did it in this game. But it just didn't let the offense get set and get their minds together on that.
Right, and like you said, we've seen it before. We all agree that we like the aggressiveness, but execution the decision to do hurry up there.
Yeah, and they were aggressive all game, like you said, with the fakes and everything. And and that's what kept them in the game, being aggressive. But it was just a bad call to do that.
I can't wait till these aggressiveness starts to pay off. When this aggression like turns into like,
because I believe the Lions
us as like winning.
Because the Lions right now are on pace to attempt the most fourth downs in NFL history.
Really?
But they're only converting at a 36% rate. So
they'll only get better.
It's not good.
Yeah.
That also might mean they're on pace for most turnover on downs then as well.
Yeah,
if they continue at this pace, I don't know what the record is.
I like it though. I like that. Like, he's just not scared. He's not being acting out of fear. He's not letting himself, you know, fall into all the conservative right way of doing things. Like, some people would say he should have kicked the field goal there, right? And you know, he most likely would have walked
away with points.
The analytics
always say go for it.
Right. But like, I'm just saying, like, I just like that he's like, you know, that gambler's mindset, or that opposite of the gambler's mindset, where you know, you got to be consistent and stick to your strategy and not be let the, you know, the fear of the what if get to you. And I like that he's just sticking to it.
Yeah. Speaking of fear, a guy who shows no fear is Penei Sewell. Chirping with Aaron Donald, getting in his face.
Yeah, that was great.
That was awesome.
I did love that. And he, Sewell, again, our highest rated player on the offense this week again.
Let's go, baby.
Talking shit out there, too, like fighting with Aaron Donald. It's like, yeah. He's just like such a beast.
He's a road grader in the run game, too, which is awesome.
Stud. He's going to be an all-time. I think he could be an all-pro, like a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. I'd be very afraid to go up against him.
Absolutely. He went through a little rough stretch a couple games there, but the last couple games, he's really rebounded well against some really good
you were his
rushers.
Ultimate hater early in the season. Yeah, you were talking a lot of you were talking shit about him all, like, every game. You're like, oh, man, Sewell's a bum and all this stuff.
What are you talking about?
You even started the Sewell is a bum fan page, I believe. That was
You were at the home opener chanting, "Sewell's a bum. Sewell's a bum." I remember it. It's still clear in my head.
If anybody on here is a new listener, they know. just know this is not
all
true.
Right. I might have exaggerated a few details, but you were
all I said
the
in the preseason
train.
Is that he didn't look good, but he did look good sometimes, and it'd be an up and down roller coaster with him at times during the
season.
So
not talking about
and that's
kind of
what we've seen.
Penei
he played
Sewell.
Really
Let's
good the first few games, and really bad, then out really
no,
good.
No, you
again.
Said you were concerned about Sewell, which is a
why wouldn't it be a concern?
All right,
we're just
whatever.
We're just tugging your strings, sense. Big Z. We're.
Yeah, tugging your
so the rest of the offensive line, actually the rest of the offensive line grayed out really well in run blocking, but the pass blocking, especially Jonah Jackson, left some to be desired in this game. Jonah Jackson was the worst graded guard in the entire league pass blocking wise this week.
Wow. Well, who was he going against?
I know, but I'm just telling you. Is he the long term answer to left guard? I don't know, or is he a future like, you know, backup? Guard. I don't know still out of him yet. It's tough to say. And big V, you know, he'll be gone next year. We've mentioned that several times.
Hey Z, you think he could be a wide receiver? Remember when Goff threw the ball right in his
to Big V? Yeah. That was
an idiot move by Goff there too, to throw it right to Big V. I don't know what he was doing there.
I'm not sure what he was doing either. It was funny, but at our own expense. But I mean, that's another, you know, just another example of a self-inflicted wound. Like, especially if you're going to be playing this type of offense that's like chunk, like little chunk at a time, or, you know, 5 yards, 4 yards, 6 yards, you can't afford a penalty. That just kills you. Although Swift had a really nice run on a third and long draw in this game as
well. That was an awesome run.
Yeah, that was
great,
a beast.
Great play, great blocking up front.
I like how...
Because Sewell like, had to reach a guy on the left side, and went, or I think it was left side then right side. Either way, he had two guys to reach just to get a hand out, and he had the agility to get out there and get both blocks.
I like how he hid behind the center on that play. So, like, he like sat down behind the center before he broke out and just, I don't know, looked cool.
Yeah. And maybe we should, that's what we should do, is just keep running third and long draws.
Yeah. I think they'll get wise eventually.
I mean, Goff in his revenge game here, if you call it that. I mean, what do we think of his performance? I know, Connor, you said it was his best of the year. That
doesn't necessarily mean it's great. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, like you said, they don't even put up 20 points. Like... Yeah. I mean, he has a chance to tie the game, throws a pick.
Right, he had a chance to go down to the end of the game.
Yeah, I think, honestly, they're too conservative with him.
Is it him or is it the off? I don't know. It's so hard to tell.
It's a little of both, I think.
It's everything right now. It's everything. It's not, like, it's hard to judge it without, Look at the O-line. It's virtually decimated. Luckily, we got still a few key pieces in good shape. But, like, without Ragnow, without Decker, he's hurting. Look at our wide receiving core. We're down to a bunch of people no one's ever heard of for the most part. I mean, Goff does not have a cast of all-stars around him. Not like when you look at what Stafford's throwing to, his guys are open all the freaking time. And his O-line, well, his O-line's not great.
Is he open all the time? Stafford threw a lot of guys open in this game, like we were used to seeing back then.
He does that, too. He does
he
that, too.
He loves the contested catches,
that.
Too.
But these guys are also, like, been working together. They're all on the same page. They know this offense in and out, especially the receivers. And
both
Stafford's
quarterbacks
probably,
in the first year in their offense.
No, but Stafford's picked it up. But look at all the guys he's working with. They can guide him through. They're going to be doing the right things. Well, look at the guys we have. They don't know what the hell. They're just learning a new offense. I mean, it's all of it. All of it. All the things are working against Goff right now. You put him behind our healthy, fully fleshed out team, I think he looks much better.
I don't know if I agree with that necessarily,
but
I mean, Goff has not stepped up, you know, where he is the first number one overall pick. You know, his guy should come out and make some plays and pick the team up, and he hasn't done that so far.
Me and UJ were kind of talking about this. I agree that Goff has not been impressive, and that, like, I think if you put the right team around him, he'll be able to be a passable quarterback and drive the engine like he did when the Rams made the run to the Super Bowl. But, like, if you put, like, a Trevor Lawrence or one of these other more young, dynamic quarterbacks that are just permeating the league in this offense, yes, I think they would do a bit better and get more out of it than Goff is currently getting it.
At this point, you got to think Brad Holmes is thinking he's drafting a quarterback at some point in the future, in the next 2 years, right?
Well, I'll tell you, Brad Holmes was at the Rose Bowl this weekend watching Kayvon Thibodeau at Oregon.
See, that's where I think...
He's a beast.
That's my thing with Goff. Agree on him. You keep Goff for another year and you get a guy like Thibodeau, because I think our defense... is like there's like if you get three there's three key positions that if you get two elite players in that they would I think our defense is suddenly looking very good, if not starting to turn elite. If you get like an elite D end, safety or linebacker or two of those, I think we're there, but our offense needs a bit more.
It absolutely needs a bit more.
A receiver, but we can get that too next year, and then you build around Goff. Let him just do his thing until we have a whole team, and then if he's still not cutting it, then we get someone new.
Yeah, and Rud Dog, you seem to think like Stafford and Goff are very equal, but I don't at all. Well, you always hype it up whenever we mention anything here. It's like, oh, well, Goff doesn't have this, and Stafford has everything. But, you know, like we saw the greatest hits from Stafford of some of the stuff we loved when he was with the team. No-look passes, those darts he was throwing there, and then long ball,
sidearm.
He's unlocked a whole other plane that Goff has never reached. Like,
For sure,
yeah,
absolutely. Just... Stafford's a far better quarterback, especially at this stage in his career and where he's at right now. My only comparisons directly between Stafford and Goff have just been the fact that Stafford wasn't exactly setting the world on fire when he was on some of the crappier Lions teams in the past. And when he was younger and still, you know, learning the game, and Goff is, you know, 6 years behind him developmentally right now. So,
mentally,
mentally, physically, maturity. Like Stafford is in his absolute prime right now, and he's on a team that is suited to, you know, optimize his ability. So. It's just hard to compare them two directly right now when Goff is on this team that's been decimated by injuries and was already lacking some talent in key positions. Well, so
Mark Sanchez is in the booth. He was in the same draft as Stafford. He's doing the games down.
Yes. Yeah. And people try to actually make us think that he was better than Stafford.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
He had like a bunch of national ads, and I was like, what did he do to deserve this? Like, he was never a great
quarterback.
He was
in New York.
That Hollywood... That Hollywood influence out of
USC.
Even
what's his face in Cleveland is all over those
Baker
ads.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker.
Oh yeah, I'm sick of those ads.
He's fine, but he's not like some elite quarterback in my opinion.
Um,
pretty good.
But I also want to throw out there, you know, as this sticking with offense for one more second, is that Jack Fox is perfect on year in passing attempts. 1 for 1, perfect passer rating, 17 yards.
Yeah, it was a nice throw.
It was a nice throw. I thought, just a nice
little stopper out. You know,
he has a better arm than Goff.
I love them going for that, though. That was fantastic. Especially the Rams, because they're kind of known for like their punter passing the ball, and to do it to them was kind of great.
Yeah.
So let's move over to the defensive side of the ball, though, where I thought we had a, you know, Stafford was 28 to 41, 334, three touchdowns, and he made some great throws that a lot of quarterbacks in this league can't do. But overall, I thought we gave a great performance on defense. Only 47 yards rushing, 2.5 yards per attempt.
That's like half of their normal clip.
Aleem McNeil and Anzarike are coming in, and Penasini was playing good in their own game, too.
Anzalone looked really
good. Yeah, Anzalone, I could see why Campbell's big on him. I think he's kind of the Van den Bosch of, you know, like... Schwartz brought in Van den Bosch because he wanted a guy that, like, embodied what he wanted. And I think that's why Campbell really wanted Anzalone. Because the guy has an endless motor, man. The guy's just constantly going and plays hard, hits
good
hard.
Good analogy, Bob.
Yeah.
He's been trading up Derek Barnes a lot, like... too, like they've been working together on like leadership stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Tracy Walker lays another big hit in this game. I appreciate that as well.
That was nice.
So definitely some toughness still out there. AJ Parker was playing really good till he came out. Actually, a guy that played, I think, better than the kind of the stats show, and he did have the one drive where they threw at him a lot. But Jerry Jacobs, I thought, played really well in this game again.
Yeah,
especially for an undrafted.
He looks really good.
Rookie free agent.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how this kid will grow.
That was a terrible
kind of moves that make you excited for Holmes.
That was a terrible pass interference call too. That was atrocious.
Oh yeah, that was.
It was.
This
I don't know where that came from.
And that's why I still think I know they tried having pass interference as a reviewable play and then got rid of it. But
they never overturned it.
I still think it should be reviewable over a certain amount of yardage just because it's such a big play and that. That was not pass interference.
Yeah, I agree. It's just like they were never overturning it, and it was like becoming a waste of time. There needs to be like a new process for how you review it, I guess.
Right.
I agree. Something's got to change.
I show that if you're going to make other things reviewable, I think, especially just for the sheer amount of yardage that has on it, I think if it's over 25 yards or something, it should be reviewable. Just
don't they live review in the booth now anyway?
They did that in the game, this game.
They've been live reviewing, right? Yeah.
They said there was a hold, and then they said, nope, we looked.
Why not do that for everything?
The ref said, after review, there's no flag in the play, which I've never heard before.
I like that.
Booth ref like has that. The best view. He's got the God's eye view. Like, why would you not just?
I didn't know we were doing that. I know it's always been talked about. I didn't know NFL was actually practicing it. That was the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That was great because... It looked like there was a hole, but his glove got stuck in like the shoulder pads.
Right.
That's why it looked like there was a hole, but there wasn't. So
they
was
need to keep developing that because I think absolutely the answer's in there. Another guy I want to give a shout out to is Julian Aquara.
Yep, that's what I was going to get to next.
That pass defense he had on was it third and one or fourth? No, it was fourth and one, right? That was fourth and. And Stafford and
looking, but it hits him with the arm.
Well, it was just great because he was just getting on his mark. He was just getting out to the flat where he's supposed to be and got right in line with the pass and made the play.
Definitely. And then another sack from out of him, too. That was clutch. Yeah. He's so fast. Lot of his success this year has been on those they call them twist or whatever. Like the tackle goes first and then the end comes over the middle, find the A gap to go through. That's where he shined the most this year, just his ability to kind of go on those stunts and use his speed to get upfield really quick right there. That's where he got the sack on this game, and that's where he's had a lot of success this year in terms of his pass rush.
Yeah, he's definitely looking promising.
And Charles Harris forced a couple quick throws again in this game, so he continues to be a highlight for us and a great find.
That was a great
this
signing.
Offseason. But as you mentioned, Arutin Zirike, a pretty solid game out of him. John Penasini had a nice stop on the fourth and short. Or was it third and short? I think it was fourth and short, right?
I think he set up the Julian Aquara play.
But a guy that I think he got hurt in this game, right? Trey Flowers, he kind of did nothing in this game overall. It was actually one of his worst. It's his second worst game of the year, grade wise. And he just continues to not maybe be the greatest fit for this.
At
defense.
This point, honestly, just like play the next guy. Let's play some of these more of these young guys. I mean,
I like Trey Flowers. He's a good player, but with this youth movement, you know, yeah, get another young guy in there and get him.
I also just don't think this is the right defense for him overall. This is just not, he's brought over to play the Patricia style, which is kind of gap assignment, hold your gap. Let the linebackers fill, and that's not quite what we're doing here. There's a lot more movement involved, a lot more slanting that requires a little more speed out of the defensive lineman. He doesn't quite have that.
Well, he's a linebacker speed. Now. It's a whole different.
I mean, he's putting his foot hand in the ground a lot in this defense still, but it's just not working, especially for what we're paying him. It's definitely not.
And I mean, he's not going to be the future. I mean, he'll be around. I like him producing and helping us, but I mean, let's just keep building these young guys because get them more reps like Austin Bryan.
Yeah.
But
Lee McNeil continues to impress, I think.
Yes.
I don't know what he did statistically, but he looked good out there.
He always passes the eye test, I feel like, even if you don't know his stats.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks solid.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately,
Jalen Reeves-Maybin. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no. Go ahead. I was just going to point out that after AJ Parker went on this game, Stafford went right at Daryl Worley, and it cost us in this game. It might have cost us the game actually, the injury potentially, because they go at him deep for a touchdown.
I just wanted to point out that Jalen Reeves-Maybin. I just noticed I liked how much he was punching at the football. It was like very obvious. He was kept every time he was coming at guys over the middle and stuff. He was punching, trying to jar the ball loose.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that.
Yeah. I saw Campbell mention him in the press conference today, so he's been impressed with his effort out there.
Nice.
Yeah, some solid coverage out of him again today. 4 tackles in the game as well for him. It's been good to see him get this full opportunity to, kind of demonstrate what we've been wanting to, see him get that opportunity the past few years.
Since we drafted him, really.
Wasn't it a game or two ago he didn't do so good? I remember we were talking about that, but
right,
pretty good this week.
Right.
I just want to point out again that I've really enjoyed Aaron Glenn as our defensive coordinator so far this year. It's just been such a much better experience watching our defense than anything out of Patricia the last 3 years.
He's what I thought we were getting with Patricia, like this defensive mastermind that actually tries stuff. But cool. He's fun to watch. He'll be a head coach one day.
Third and long late in the game. That's the guy you want calling the defense. No, I'm just
or
kidding.
Fourth and long.
Fourth and long.
What about his three-man rushes, though? Huh? You guys have
been so nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect.
But, I mean,
I think we were, because one nice thing about that is I think we were all generally called that, right? Like how much we'd get out of just better coaching and the defensive talent we already had on the roster.
Yeah, and then, true.
I mean, and then obviously we added a few good pieces in the offseason, but like it's just good to see like we were kind of right about what we had there, and it's good to see him getting it out of him.
Doesn't it just, it makes you so angry. Like what if, Patricia wasn't hired and we still had all those offensive pieces? And we just had a better defensive game plan with Stafford and Galladay.
Who knows?
It was rotten at the core, Zach. You can't make something work that's rotten at its core. Patricia just wasn't the guy. He didn't get it. So
I know. I'm saying, what if we hired somebody different 3 years ago?
If you hire
Mike Vrabel
with all the offensive talent we had. Well, I don't know about Mike Vrabel. Right. That defense has been awful.
If we got Campbell now. Or had Campbell then instead of Campbell instead of Patricia.
Well, or if we drafted Aaron Donald instead of Ebron, we might have had.
We could do what if for a while here.
We could have drafted Pat Mahomes too. I mean, we can talk all day about drafting.
You're right, Connor, but this one's still pretty egregious. Just when you compare what Ebron, I don't know.
I know,
but I mean, to be fair, not everyone knew or had any clue that he was going to turn into what he has become. Like he was seen as like a really good upside like athlete, but with undersized for his position and stuff, so like people, that's why he fell to the position he did, because he was an undersized defensive tackle. So I mean, easy to look back and be like, oh yeah, the best player ever.
The draft is a crapshoot in a lot of ways. Yeah. So,
though I did read something recently that like everybody was trying every like the D they were pushing for in the house was pushing for Donald, but was it Lombardi at the time or like vouched for like made the push and got Ebron or
oh Joe Lombardi?
Was it Joe Lombardi that got Ebron or was
I can't remember. I remember
if we never hired Joe Lombardi. That's a good what if question.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Lombardi never comes and some other offensive coordinator is there.
We could do like that Marvel
back
verse,
when we
like,
had Terrell
what if.
What if just a whole season of Lions episodes.
Oh my god.
That would actually be great for the like the summer to do. The what if.
Yeah, let's do a what if podcast in the summer.
I like
make
that.
It a series.
I like that. I'm
map out
that one.
Some successful seasons that might happen if some a few things went differently.
Yeah.
But
that could be fun.
You know, you guys, the Lions still 0-7, still don't have that victory yet this year. Still have the path for you know, if the Lions win, they drop down to like the 5th overall pick in the draft.
I was gonna say, I think they're better than all the 1-6
because they have the, actually the Lions have like the third hardest schedule in the entire NFL, which is not a good mix with the talent on the roster, unfortunately, and all the injuries that we've had.
I think it's a great mix, actually.
But if you want to talk about a great opportunity, next week would be it at home against the Eagles.
Yeah,
the Lions are underdogs in that game too, 3-point underdogs at home.
Are they really?
Yeah,
I think they're poised to win that game.
Oh, well, you know, we think they're going to win, that's for sure.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
I mean, considering
I'm going to the game, too. So.
Considering that the Lions are about to go and win their next 10 games to make the playoffs. And then
10-7. Cool. Yeah, I mean, they got the bye after this one, so they
I'm just saying. Like,
10-7
would
probably
do that. Yeah. But if, like, they weren't going to do that this year, I'm glad we have a really hard schedule to really, you know, forge these young players into better, you know, just you know, grizzled veterans for next year that'll learn from a bunch of hard experiences playing good players across the league.
Well, I hope these young guys don't get too grizzled. You know, that
oh, no, they're going to be grizzled and they're going to know what to do and they're going to be badasses. Oh, yeah. You watch.
Okay, gentlemen. Well, I think that'll, well, I mean, just, you know, last thoughts just about, Stafford again. I mean, was it still fun watching him play even if it was against us?
No,
it was kind of like a greatest hits of all the kind of throws that, he could
it
make
was kinda
except
cool
for the big interception. We didn't get that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately it was against us. I always like seeing him throw the ball, but,
I liked that play when he got sacked.
Should we do a Stafford throw of the week just for old time's sake?
No.
No.
But Stafford third in yards in the NFL right now and second in touchdowns. 19 touchdowns, 4 interceptions and over.
It's a shame Kyler Murray's balling out cuz Stafford probably won't win MVP.
Yeah, Stafford's fifth in the MVP race. Tom Brady.
Still got time.
I hope
Brady's
Kyler
second.
Murray wins it. He looks awesome right now.
Yeah, Tom Brady's leading the league in passing yards and touchdowns right now. So
helps that he has the best offense in the game.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it could always our offense always could be worse, you guys. It could be the Chicago Bears offense who had seven
turnovers.
Would
you take Tom Brady on a 1-year deal if he was like, I'm gonna come win the Lions a Super
Bowl?
Yes.
Would you take him
in a heartbeat?
Yes.
I would say go off, pack your bags, you get out of the barracks. It's Tom's spot now
because Kevin Hart told Tom Brady he's not truly a legend until he wins with Detroit. So
yeah,
I think I agree with that. He's got to come over.
I like it. I like it. Coax him into coming.
See what he does with this receiving core.
Did you see Brady threw a 600 touchdown pass and then the receiver gave the ball to a fan? Like,
right.
He didn't even notice.
And that fan gave it back. He gave it back.
Yeah.
The ball was
nice. Oh, no
the ball
apparently,
was...
Tom Brady's going to give him some Bitcoin.
He's getting $1,000 and
like five
another
and,
ball.
And some signed stuff. But still, the ball itself is worth over $500,000. Just rough estimate by some auction.
About five Bitcoin.
Auction house. That's what it was worth at least. But, well, but at least you got a $1,000 gift card to the team shop. So, hey, I mean, it was better than $0 he had just going to the game and watching it. So,
oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, that'd be a tough one. I don't think that he fully thought it through, the guy, unless he was just
maybe he's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
But
all right, gentlemen. No. I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. I should also mention... I don't think I've mentioned it yet, but that we've joined. So I know I previously mentioned that we're part of the Pigskin Podcast Network.
Big things are happening. Let's just say that.
But now we have instead joined SideLionReport.com. So look for our podcast on there. So we are now the official podcast for that website, a popular website, part of FanSided. So we are excited to join FanSided.
On that note.
So just look, you know, look for that. If you go on that website, we are on every page on there pretty much, which is pretty cool. Just another way to expand the drinking the blue Kool-Aid vibes out there in Detroit. So really cool opportunity. And that won't affect anything we do on the podcast here, besides just enhance the experience that you have when listening to us. So, again, Twitter at Drinking Lions, Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, or sidelinereport.com. Please listen to podcasts, download, subscribe, leave a review. Greatly appreciate it. Otherwise, gentlemen, our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Even though he's a Rams fan, and he was
he's gonna edit this podcast and like change words around to make it sound like a lot of more positive for the Rams or something like that. But thank you anyways for producing, Kid J. Otherwise, listeners, enjoy the start of your week. We'll be back later previewing the upcoming game against the Eagles. So last but not least, as always.
Go Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rah, rah, rah! Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and game, a Lions victory. Go!